Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Abe Hamilton, who is AFA's public policy analyst. And then another one of these news guys has dropped in. Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News.
You can't swing a cat without hitting one of us.
That's true. We have some good folks across the street. That's where they do their work, in the building across the street from these radio studios. But anyway, welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Abe. Program.
Good morning.
We were talking with Fred Jackson in one of the last couple of segments. We were just talking about the first segment, talking about just the inauguration tomorrow. It is always an important event, the transition, the exchange of house keys for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Tomorrow, a unique man, Donald Trump, will be sworn in as the nation's 45th president. Interested in some of your thoughts about tomorrow.
It's amazing to me that for 200 years, while countries around the world are imploding and changing and in turmoil and strife, there's not another country in the history of the world that has had this kind of a way. You know, Rome had its dictators. They were kind of appointed. And Greece, I'm not sure what kind of a government system Greece had. It was a republic, so they might qualify.
But democracy.
Democracy. For 200 years, we have transferred powers between parties who, as we've seen in the last year and 10 years, could not like each other less.
Right.
And yet, when it's all said and done, with the exception of 70-some sour grapes that to say they're not going to go, everybody shows up and they peacefully peaceful revolution. It's just amazing to me.
President Obama will be at the inauguration tomorrow.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, along with her, I'm not sure whether it's in her official capacity as former Secretary of State or as the wife of a former president, maybe both. She's going to be there. It's a good sign. It sends a good signal. It is appropriate. My hat's off to them because I know, as you point out, they couldn't disagree with Donald Trump in any greater or deeper fashion,
right.
And yet they're showing up because they have respect for the system.
It also points out to me the genius of our founders, who I believe not in the same way that the Bible was inspired by God, but under a divine inspiration of some sort, I think, came up with the unique plan, the Constitution
they
that
saw
we have.
They saw it that way, too.
I think so.
The hand of providence. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and people forget, and this unfortunately is a forgotten piece of American history, but during the Constitutional Convention that we got our Constitution from, it was contentious, it was full of strife, and then the least spiritual founding father, Benjamin Franklin, said, gentlemen, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without divine providence awareness, how then can an empire arise? Let us set our minds and hearts to prayer. And they began a 3-day prayer meeting. Stop the entire deliberation process. 3-day prayer meeting. Mm. Out comes the United States Constitution.
Right.
Establishing the singular, most long-lasting republic in the history of the world under one form of government.
It is
that remarkable. Is not merely human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it is a... And again, I want to be careful because, we have people listening and sometimes they listen from other parts of the world and stuff too. But it's not that America is exceptional because its people are any better than anyone else. But I think the idea of what America is meant to represent, I think, is from God because it is God's intention that his highest creation— made in his image, be free. Yeah. Now, we know that true freedom only comes from Jesus Christ, But I think that's what this experiment was meant to point people to.
And Ronald Reagan called us the city on a hill, the shining right. city on a hill. And it's true. Nations around the world do and have pointed to us as the example or the object or the gold standard when it comes to democracy and self-governing. And because of our ability or the God's providence to allow us to maintain this kind of government for so long, we have been in a position around the world over the last several decades to help other nations be the kind of giving person that God would want individuals to be. As a nation, we've also been that. So
yeah.
I do believe that God has had his hand on this nation. And I will point out that God has his hand on us currently mm-hmm. and right now and knows everything about Donald Trump, whether he's going to use Donald Trump as a source of punishment for us right. or whether he's going to use him to continue developing a God-honoring society and culture or bringing us back to one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God has made it very clear in his word that he appoints rulers and he guides them,
yeah.
whether yes, they know it or true. Acknowledge it or not.
Yeah.
Yes, and absolutely.
And I just wanted to add to, in just an aside, yeah. the whole concept of American exceptionalism wasn't an American one. It was a Frenchman who actually developed the notion. Yes, de Tocqueville is the one who yeah. came up with the idea of America being exceptional. But I also think it's important to point out that when we say, and when I say, I speak for myself here, that the Lord's hand was on our founders and remains on our country today, that is not to say that we should become idolaters toward the founders.
Right.
These are flawed men, sinful men, just like they're sinful men today, but we should not shrink away from saying God uses broken sticks to paint straight lines. I mean,
ooh, I like that.
This yeah. is what he does.
Did you come up with that?
I just thought about it.
That's pretty good. Wow. That's pretty good.
I mean, but he has done that throughout the annals of human history. So we shouldn't be surprised nor back away from the fact that he's done that in American history.
And I like the warning that we should not be idolaters about mm-hmm. our founders, about our Constitution.
Absolutely.
It is not the same as the Scriptures. Also, I think Christians especially should be wary, should be aware of the fact that our founders believed in civil religion and I think God can use the civil religion, and by that I mean the not necessarily Christian emphases on God and those kinds of things. We should be aware of its proper place, mm-hmm. but be also aware that being an American and being a patriot is not the same as being a member of God's kingdom. And so
that's right.
All those things should be kept in their proper balance. And when you do, I think you see the genius of our founders, you see God's hand upon our mm-hmm. nation, and if you see through past some of the trappings mm-hmm. of it, you see a really bold experiment for humanity that I think you see grounds for in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that God wants humanity to arise to, leaving behind despotism and tyranny and oppression. That's a lesson that our country has had a hard time learning in its past, but is learning, and the fact that all people are valuable to God. How else do you look at what we call the melting pot? And I know sometimes it's been more of a stew than a melting pot, but when you see the kingdom of God and you see in the book of Revelation, I'm starting to get to preach mode and I want to stop, but the fact that people from every tribe and tongue and nation and ethnos, every group together in the kingdom, you see America as being a nation that strives towards that ideal as well, that people from every place on the planet, every race, every group is valuable and mm-hmm. has the same rights and privileges. We could go on and on in talking mm-hmm. about the Declaration of Independence, but I think those are the things that Christians can cling to and hold up as an example without falling into the temptation of worldliness or idolatry.
Mm. And I think the conclusion from that, especially for those of us who are Christians, when you step back and you have all of that factored into your mindset and your worldview, it causes an awe-invoking worship for our God. when you see how he's been able to use these broken people, flawed people, to create this beautiful thing called the American Experiment, it causes me to throw my hands up.
Right.
And say, glory be to our Lord and our King.
And it's reason, and then I'm putting the caboose on it, but it is reason for Christians to be involved in the political arena and in the culture, because this is not, America's not an accident. If you stay away from it and you don't want anything to do with it and you don't get involved, you are saying this is an accident, that this is something arbitrary that happened and God doesn't care one way or the other. But if you see it the way we've been expressing it over the last few minutes, you say, well, I want in. I want to try to perfect this experiment as much as humanly possible, because to do so honors God. Steve, we kind of hijacked.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
We hijacked
your show. let me mention first, right off, before I forget, top of the page at onenewsnow.com. If you go there right now, onenewsnow.com, a thoughtful piece by Chad Groening of our staff talking about Obama's claim that there is no voter fraud. It doesn't exist. That only voter suppression exists. I think you guys might have handled that.
We did last segment.
Last segment. So that's up there. You can read that. And then we have a poll question. If you could ask President-elect Trump to focus on one goal during his first week in office, and then we give you six choices. Start rebuilding the military, defund Planned Parenthood, nominate conservatives to the Supreme Court, clean house of the VA and IRS, start building the wall, slash size budget of federal government. So there's some thoughts for you.
Wow, great.
Tomorrow we are going to hear Mr. Trump take the oath of office as the 45th president of the United States. And I came across a wonderful piece, just a 30-second little collage that ABC News put together of all of the presidents since Franklin Roosevelt saying the oath of office. I just thought it was interesting to hear the voices of these men. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt,
Harry S. Truman,
Dwight D. Eisenhower,
John Fitzgerald Kennedy,
Lyndon Baines Johnson,
Richard Bilhouse Nixon,
Gerald R. Ford,
Jimmy Carter,
Ronald Reagan,
George Herbert Walker Bush,
William Jefferson Clinton,
George Walker Bush,
Barack Hussein Obama,
do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully
execute
the office
President
of the United States,
and will,
to the best of my ability,
preserve,
protect,
and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
Just a little.
That is interesting.
Interesting little thing, isn't there?
Yeah, it goes back as far as we have recordings. So yeah. I guess FDR would have been with his fireside.
Hoover was before Franklin Roosevelt, and I think radio was around, and they might have been able to dig that up. But
yeah. They started with FDR. It's ABC. You got to start. They had to start with their, you know, one of their heroes.
Yeah, maybe.
So
maybe.
I don't know. Because Woodrow Wilson. I'm not sure how far back radio goes or recordings.
Turn of the century.
Go. Yeah,
and maybe a little before that. But
it is interesting. And you know what's interesting is how quickly you can cycle through those names and those voices.
Yeah.
You look at the whole of the last century. FDR was it.
36.
Okay.
36
was his first?
Was his first term, first of four elections.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, he died in 45. So, but anyway, you cycle through
it might have
that.
Been earlier, because I thought that, the reason I say that is because I thought that Hoover presided over the majority of the Great Depression, which was in the heart of the 30s.
I think he was elected in 28 and
served one term. Okay.
30. But anyway, the point being that you can cycle through those. You think of, whatever it is, it's, 80 years that represented or whatever. We haven't had that many presidents, but there's been a lot of history.
Right.
So that's very, very interesting.
Yeah. So you know that the hearings are going on Capitol Hill.
When are we going to get some votes? That's a question I asked.
I thought we were going to get something today. I have to look at that. I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah.
They're still doing the hearings. Of course, the Democrats are trying to drag it out as long as possible.
Right.
I have a story that we can talk about a little later.
It's just interesting that the accusation against Republicans was that they were obstructionists, and now yeah. the Democrats are obstructing. So there is really nothing new under the sun.
On the one hand, it gets frustrating. But on the other hand, really, if we go back to our talking about the framers of the Constitution, the framers thought that maybe, I don't know if it goes back that far, but a party of opposition has a role, mm-hmm. which is
right.
to slow things down.
They're doing their job. They're doing their job.
It's to slow things down so that it's the same reason it's such a high bar to do a constitutional amendment. You can pass laws and maybe you can ram those through, but the big changes, really, you need to take time and they need to be time tested. And that's why the bar to pass a constitutional amendment is so high and it rarely gets done. But it's also, I think, the role of a party in opposition, which is to slow things down and give the American people time to catch up, because they're mowing their lawn, getting their kids to school,
right.
doing their job. They don't have time to necessarily look and weigh in on all the issues. So slow it down. Give them a time to think about whatever issue is in front of Congress and have them weigh in with their particular member of Congress, their senator, and then... So there is a role. It's not all evil.
Right, which is why we have a representative democracy. We send representatives to do our bidding. Abe, and Steve's exactly right. The opposition party does its job by slowing things down. The balance that the government has to strike is they also have to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the balancing act that at least those in D.C. have to fulfill.
Well, this is where constitutional competence would go a long way for our American republic. Particularly, I'm talking about the populace, because the founders promulgated our Congress to be a deliberative body intentionally, but not only a deliberative body with certain expressly enumerated functions.
Right.
They weren't supposed to be doing so much.
Yes.
They were which is why the necessity for the federal government to be rapid responders did not fall within the purview of our founders as it pertains to our Congress. When you understand that the Congress was meant to address only these issues, in the Constitution states specifically, whatever is not expressly given to Congress in this Constitution is inherently reserved to the states.
10th Amendment.
Exactly. The 10th Amendment states that. So when you understand that, you see that it's meant to be deliberative. It's meant to grind slowly because you're not supposed to be doing a whole lot of different things.
Right. Yeah.
Everything else the states are supposed to do. But now we don't understand that. And it's amazing. And I said this before, that what was previously referred to as obstructionist under President Obama will now be regarded as constitutionally faithful.
Yes.
One of the guys up on the Hill right now is former governor, Texas governor Rick Perry. He is in line to be the Secretary of Energy.
And that's
of course,
so funny to me.
That's the one department when he was running.
Answer.
Was that 2012?
Yes.
When in one of the Republican debates,
yep.
he said, as soon as I'm elected, I'm going to get rid of three departments. And he named two. I don't remember what
education
they were.
Education was one
Department
of
Education. Department of Energy is one he couldn't remember.
Maybe Homeland Security, because...
No, I think it was the EPA.
EPA, maybe.
EPA. And then he said, the third one I can't remember.
Well,
now
was,
he's up to be...
Now, yes.
That's,
not, not the irony is not lost on those senators that are grilling him. You remember yesterday I brought in a clip from Bernie Sanders saying that American was not compassionate.
Yes. Uh-huh.
One of the other... men that is constantly a thorn in the flesh in the side of Republicans has been Al Franken, who many people think did not get his seat very... It was a little underhanded stuff up in Minnesota.
There's question about voter fraud.
When he first... Well, there is none, as our president has
right.
informed us. So obviously it wasn't that, but whatever it was. Anyway, there was a little bit of a terse exchange between... Mr. Franken and Mr. Perry.
Who's senator
today.
From Minnesota.
This is Senator from Minnesota. You might remember formerly a cast member of Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And this was what they had to say to each other at the hearing today.
Senator Franken.
Governor.
Senator.
Thank you so much for coming into my office. Did you enjoy meeting me?
I hope you were as much fun on that dais as you were on your couch.
Well...
May I rephrase that, sir?
Please. Please, please. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Well, I think we found our Saturday Night Live soundbite.
Let's move on.
Yeah, it's not all. I kind of set you up.
Okay,
with that.
You did set me up because I was thinking, man, I hate to go from that to a terse exchange. That is funny. I got to say, that was funny. That's one of those moments where you just go, you breathe, you say, maybe there is some hope for the two sides to find some common ground.
Exactly.
Although on our issues, we don't want to find common ground. So,
well, no, there's certain issues that I think are core issues, and there are certain issues which – but the art of politics oftentimes is – and I know we've had this discussion many times, and I don't want to derail this show either, but I know this discussion has probably come up in this show often, which is, do you want to grab the whole apple, or are you satisfied with a slice for now while you work at getting the rest?
Right.
And so sometimes even on issues like abortion, which – we stand firmly against because we believe it is the taking of a human life.
Right.
Sometimes you have to be content to say, well, we're going to take this intermediate step and at least claim this ground before we go on to the rest. There are some who say no, unless you can get the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like voting for the guy you know is not going to win because he lines up with every one of your ideals, the constitutional party candidate, instead of one that you know is going to win. And some people say it's throwing away a vote. Some people say it's being principled. But I'm more on the throwing away your vote side.
Well, and Abe, I think we're going to find out with Donald Trump, and we're coming up here with just a couple minutes left, but we're going to find out with Donald Trump if he is able to do some of the things he said he could do, you know, with conservative judges and Supreme Court nominees, if we can get those kinds of things done, if religious liberty is safeguarded and the economy bounces back, you know, maybe not everything's perfect, obviously, then it's going to be a challenge for those who said, well, he wasn't as conservative as I wanted, therefore I refuse to vote for him, because it's going to be like Steve said, we may get half the loaf mm-hmm. with this guy. That's going to be a challenge in 2020 and beyond for Christians who want to remain purists. And I'm not saying they don't have a right to. That's a conscience issue. Mm-hmm. But that would be a challenge, wouldn't it?
I think so, because especially when you take it in light of the previous 8 years.
Right.
I mean, if he's able to do, as you referred to, as half the loaf, I think that you will be hard-pressed to find a reason to oppose him in 2020. If he's demonstrated the ability to move the needle even halfway,
right,
or move the ball halfway down the field, I think you would be hard pressed to find a legitimate reason to oppose him.
Yeah,
you know.
All right, anything you got that's a 30-second thing?
Yeah, I was amused today. I don't know how many of you out there have ever made a mistake in your checkbook. I remember one time when I was doing the bills for a family, I wrote a check for the amount of the. I looked at the checkbook. And instead of writing the amount that I was supposed to write, I wrote the amount for the balance.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Young, married. And
yeah.
So it wasn't a large amount, but it did put us in some financial straits for a while. Well, California is going through a little bit of a thing. They discovered this week that they have miscalculated the cost for the state Medi-Cal program, which is the state Medicare, it's their health program there. They only were off by $1.9 billion last year.
They were off by $1.9 billion
with a B. Billion dollars. They missed the mark.
And who's the guy who wrote that check?
Yeah, you got to think that.
or gal.
They're probably, instead of, we would fire him, but they're probably going to just promote him.
Yes. Wow, $1.9 billion off. That's a bunch of zeros. All right, hey, thanks. Steve Jordahl with American Family News. Appreciate you being in here. Folks, that is all the time we have for this issue, this edition of Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today and tomorrow. Abe, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Great discussion on a number of important topics. You've been listening to American Family Radio. More great programming is directly ahead. Have a great day, folks, and continue to pray for this nation. She remains spiritually sick, and we know the answer is Jesus Christ. Bye for now.